The words of God given to us today are 2 Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 through 8. This is page 476 of the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 through 8. Allow me to read the words. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lo Debar." So King David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Amen. Before I start today's sermon, I wish for the abundant grace and peace of Christmas to fill our homes and workplaces of our congregation. Around this time last year, I read a very heartwarming article. On Friday, December 23rd, 2022, 9 Korean tourists departed from Washington in a van and headed to Niagara Falls. However, about 40 kilometers before reaching Niagara Falls, the van carrying the group fell into a ditch on a snow-covered road in Williamsville, which was a suburb of Buffalo, New York. It snowed about 110 centimeters deep on that day in Buffalo. At the same time, in a house nearby, Alexander Campagna, a 40-year-old dentist, and his wife were waiting for the snowstorm to end in Williamsville. They decided to spend the Christmas weekend quietly and stocked up the refrigerator with lots of food. Around 2 p.m., when the blizzard was still raging and the roads were blocked due to snow, someone knocked on their door. The two men outside the door said that a group of 9 people were on their way to see Niagara Falls and that their van had fallen into a ditch, and they asked to borrow a shovel. Instead of lending a shovel, Mr. and Mrs. Campagna invited the group to their home. Mr. Campagna, who was a native of Buffalo, was very well acquainted with the local weather and thought that it was impossible to continue their journey in such a weather. So essentially, Mr. and Mrs. Campagna became accidental innkeepers, and an unexpected holiday weekend began amongst the group. Among the group were a newlywed couple, a daughter attending college in Indiana and her parents, and other college students on a trip. What surprised the group even more was that Mr. Campagna and his wife, who loves Korean food, had various seasonings, including soy sauce, red pepper paste, red pepper powder, and sesame oil. There was even kimchi and a rice cooker in their household. So the mother of the college student, who had excellent cooking skills, started cooking Korean dishes such as stir-fried pork and braised spicy chicken. And then they even watched a football game together, and they all had a very great weekend. The group who received such hospitality said that the situation seemed very fateful and that the couple were the kindest people that they had ever met. 10 days later, Mr. Campagna and his wife traveled to Korea last May at the invitation of the Korean Tourism Organization. They also reunited with 6 of the tourists that they had helped. What was truly mysterious to the people who visited Mr. Campagna and his wife back then was, out of so many houses in Buffalo, how could it be that the house that we went to help for had soy sauce, red pepper paste, red pepper powder, sesame oil, and various other Korean seasonings, and enough food to make Korean food? The hosts, Mr. and Mrs. Campagna, also share the same mystery. How has it transpired that they ended up on the street in front of my house in Buffalo? We like Korean food and we even had Korean seasonings at our own house. And so after experiencing such a pleasant mystery, they thought of each other as lifelong friends and said, "It felt like we were destined to meet." The 9 Korean tourists originally departed from Washington, D.C., expecting to see the natural wonders of Niagara Falls, but they were caught in a snowstorm and ended up stranded. However, the American couple who welcomed them so warmly showed the group a memorable hospitality, and they must have experienced a meal more meaningful than that of any other. Today's scripture also testifies about warm hospitality and meaningful meals. When the war between the Philistines and Israel took place on Mount Gilboa, King Saul and his 3 sons, including his son Jonathan, were all killed. And at the time, David was appointed the king of the tribe of Judah and later became the king of all of Israel. And after about 17 to 18 years have passed since then, the Ark of the Covenant was moved to Jerusalem, and the authority and the power of King David was bolstered, and the country was finally at peace. Then one day, King David asked his subjects, today's scripture, verse 1, and David said, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" The reason why King David asked this question was because of the covenant he made with Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's eldest son and heir to the throne 20 years ago, and David was anointed as the next king. David was not only a loyal subject to King Saul, but also his son-in-law. But even so, King Saul viewed David as someone who was always plotting to take over his throne. But despite the circumstances, Jonathan did not consider David as his political enemy, but became David's protector and his friend. No matter how much David thought about it, he thought it was really special that Jonathan treated him so well, despite all the circumstances. So when Jonathan died in the battle, David sang his lamentations. "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women." And as time passed, David thought that it was time to repay all the love that he had received from Jonathan. So he asked his servants, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul?" However, note that David did not ask for the house of Jonathan specifically, but for all the house of Saul. Jonathan's family and Saul's family are not synonymous. To Jonathan, David was a target of protection and a friend, but to King Saul, David was a political enemy and someone who should disappear. Also, The number of Saul's family is much bigger, of course, than that of Jonathan's family. But if you truly experience the love of God and feel and have felt its greatness, then you will want to spread such grace of God accordingly. Also, David was not looking for anyone that would qualify to meet his mercy or grace. Rather, he simply asked, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family?" This meant that as long as you were alive and was a descendant of Saul, you would receive the grace and mercy of David himself. So David went on searching, and he called a man named Ziba, who was the then servant of Saul's family, and asked him if there was anyone alive in Saul's family. His answer was as follows. 3b. Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, but he is crippled in his feet." When Ziba answered King David that there is still a son of Jonathan, but that he was lame in both feet, he did not mention the son's name. The son's name was Mephibosheth, but Ziba didn't say where he lived, how old he was, or what he did. The Bible is a word of God, and when the writers of the Bible wrote the words in the Bible, they did not write whatever they wanted to write. The Bible contains the words of God that he wants to relay and reveal to us. So note that when Ziba spoke to David about Jonathan's son, he first said, "He is physically handicapped and cannot walk on his own." Even to this day, a healthy and beautiful body is of a great attraction. That's why words such as sculpted body, curvy figure, and six-pack abs are often used. Words such as horse thighs are even coined to refer to strong and healthy-looking legs. Such phenomena dates back to the ancient times where a person's physical strength was considered very important. A person who would become the priest later had to be physically healthy as well. In particular, feet were used to measure one's manliness or strength. At the time, it was thought that one had to have quick feet to win or survive in a war. When the prophet Habakkuk spoke about God's help that were sent for the people in trouble, he confessed that, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." This is how a person's physical strength was considered very important. But the reason why Mephibosheth could not walk on his own was as follows. This is a scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. "Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled. His name was Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth was born into the most royal family. In today's terms, he was born with the most expensive golden spoon in his mouth. His grandfather was the first king of Israel, and his father was a crown prince. And grandfather Saul had the most handsome appearance in all of Israel, and he was at least a head taller than that of the rest. So he was very tall, and in today's terms, he was a person with both good looks and a great body, or so-called a face genius or a body genius. And also, his father Jonathan had courage that was second to none, a warm heart, and also strong faith. So if Jonathan had succeeded Saul as king, he would have been a much better king than his father. And Mephibosheth was born into such a family. But then suddenly the situation changed 180. His father and grandfather were defeated and killed in a battle against their archenemy, the Philistines. And until that war, the royal palace was the safest place in Israel and the richest haven. However, after the war, it became the most dangerous place, raging with blizzards and whirlwinds. During these times, a faithful nurse or nanny took Mephibosheth and ran away. And he was only 5 years old at the time. As they were running away, the nurse dropped Mephibosheth, and his legs then became crippled. Previously, Mephibosheth was a prince and a healthy child who could run as much as he wanted, but now he has become a refugee and a disabled person who cannot walk on his own. Furthermore, Mephibosheth was unable to use his both legs. So when Ziba said that Jonathan's son was a disabled man, David's question and Ziba's answer were as follows. Verse 4. The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodebar." David did not even ask Ziba, "How severe is his disability? Is he in need of serious help?" Rather, David just asked where he lived. Grace is simply given without asking whether the recipient had done commensurate actions to deserve the grace. And Lodebar means a place that is not a pasture. So in other words, Jonathan's son was living in a desolate field unknown to others in a house of Machir. And in time, David and Mephibosheth finally met. Verse 6. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." Mephibosheth describes himself as "your servant," probably because he was very afraid. For what reason other than to kill would the current king search for the previous throne's descendants? Mephibosheth also expressed himself in the following words. Verse 8. And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Dead dog means worthless. In other words, he was asking why King David was looking for such a worthless being who does not have any value to David. Mephibosheth was probably very much startled. When David was being chased by King Saul, David cut off only a corner of King Saul's robe in the cave at the desert of En-Gedi. He then came out of the cave and said to Saul, "Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea?" What David was feeling then when he said these words to King Saul must have been what Mephibosheth was feeling now. However, for David, meeting Mephibosheth must have been truly heartwarming. It was the first time in 17 to 18 years that he met Jonathan's son, to whom was his worm protector and friend. And even though he naturally should have regarded David as a political enemy, David said to Mephibosheth, verse 7, and David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan." When I think of this encounter and relationship between David and Mephibosheth, a scene from a historical drama that I have seen a long time ago comes to mind. The title is Emperor Wanggeon. Wanggeon was a subject of Emperor Gungye, but became the emperor through a revolution of a dynastic cycle. This means that when a king becomes immoral and loses public support, another person or individual with virtue will receive a heavenly order to overthrow that throne and establish a new dynasty. So is how Wanggeon became the emperor. Now, Wang Gun had promised to marry a woman named Yun Hua when he was young. However, the marriage was delayed for a while, and when Emperor Kung Ye saw Yun Hua and took a liking to her, Yun Hua ended up marrying King Kung Ye. Later, the king lost his sanity and killed his own wife, Yun Hua. Not long after Wang Gun ascended the throne, while holding a meeting with his ministers, he heard a baby crying outside. So Wang Gun and the ministers went outside and saw one court lady leaving the palace holding a baby in her arms. And so Wang Gun asked, "Whose baby is this?" And she answered that it was a baby of the retired king, King Kung Ye. The subjects were filled with anger and said that since it was the baby of a dethroned king, they should kill the baby and obliterate his descendants. However, Wang Gun did not listen to his subjects and simply said, "Very well, take him and raise him well." It only seems right that King Wang Gun should have killed the baby, even if his subjects begged otherwise, because that's how he would have blocked the descendant of a dethroned king to come back and haunt him later. But that is not what King Wang Gun did. It's probably because the baby was a descendant of King Kung Ye, but more because the baby was the son of Yun Hua, whom he so loved and who loved him back. Coming back to today's scripture, David made a promise to Mephibosheth, verse 7. And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table. And you shall eat at my table always." When Mephibosheth was trembling with fear, David said to him, "I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father." Moreover, he said, "You shall eat at my table always." This is the same as saying that David would consider Mephibosheth his son. Mephibosheth received an unexpected welcome and a very warm welcome, and was able to have meaningful meals and share such meals with David every day. Today is Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus who came to this earth to invite us to eat with him at the eternal table. Mephibosheth is the self-portrait of each and every one of us. The fact that he had crippled legs means that he could do nothing on his own. Later, when King David was forced to flee from his son Absalom because he staged a coup d'etat, Mephibosheth wanted to flee with David. However, no one would take him, and he had no choice but to wait at his place. And he waited without even shaving his beard until David has returned, because there was nothing that he could do with lame legs. But even so, David had reached out to him and had restored his position. In chapter 9 of the book of 2 Samuel, where the story of David and Mephibosheth is described in detail, it is mentioned repeatedly that David shared his meals with Mephibosheth. And so if Mephibosheth is our self-portrait, then King David is analogous to the Lord's shadow. And that Lord came to this earth today, 2,000 years ago. We were originally bound to the eternal Lo-Debar, or the eternal wastelands. But Jesus Christ not only delivered us from Lo-Debar, but also shed his own blood of atonement on the cross to invite us to the Lord's eternal table. Such is how we became the people of God's kingdom and were granted with the mercy to eat together at the Lord's table. David has only shared a simple table with Mephibosheth, but the Lord is with us 24 hours a day and 365 days a year. That is the true meaning and grace of Christmas. What the Lord said to the people of the Laodicea church the same applies to us. He's essentially saying, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Let us obey the words of God given to us today, and let us all respond to the ever-warm invitation that the Lord extends, and gladly join Him at the table of the eternal meaning. Only then, we will be able to experience the eternal fullness, and the meaning of our lives will be restored and renewed. Also, if we extend the same warm invite that we received from God to our neighbors and others to share our lives with them, this Christmas will be a season of true warmth and true meaning, as with every year. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Although Mephibosheth knew that David was a king of Israel, he had never met him before, and he did not know that King David had made a covenant with his father Jonathan. So, accordingly, he probably thought that he had nothing to do with King David. However, God had allowed David to go and seek Mephibosheth. Likewise, our lives were wired to be lost in the blizzards of our lives and were wired to rot in a pit. We were born to live in Lodabar, left desolate in the wild, and unable to do anything or accomplish anything on our own. But today we give thanks that baby Jesus came to this earth to find us, to seek us, and to be with us, and to invite us to eat with God at His table. Today, as we celebrate Christmas, commemorating the coming of Emmanuel God to this earth, we resolve to share the fellowship with the Lord at the table where the Lord had invited us to sit and to know and serve the Lord properly. We pray that through our faith and through our lives, we may become the vessels where the love and life that the Lord has taught us overflows to others. May each and every one of our lives in the Lord become the light of Christmas to brighten and shed light in this world every day. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.